Welcome, welcome everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Coffee and Uchi Okeke, our lovely conversation series. And we have with us a very special guest today, the Professor Bruce Onabrakpeya, and it's a great privilege to have you with us. And as well, we have Salma Uchi Okeke, so it's going to be a lovely conversation, especially because Bruce was one of the original collaborators, part of the Zaria Art Society, a compatriot of Uchi Okeke. And so we are looking forward to Bruce's stories and all that beautiful insight he can share with us from so many years of collaboration and friendship with Uchi Okeke. So to kick off, I'm Tamsin Lovell. I'm the host of this series and the founder and CEO of Artfundi. And it's my absolute privilege to welcome and introduce Bruce Onabrakpeya and Salma Uchi Okeke in today's conversation. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
To kick off, Bruce, you had the privilege of collaborating with Christopher Uchi Okeke and he with you during that pivotal period in Nigerian art. Could you share with us perhaps a memorable anecdote or a story that captures the essence of those times and your collaborative spirit?
Yeah, thank you. It's always a joy to be able to talk about Uchi Okeke, who was a friend, a brother, and a colleague. Always very beautiful memories. We were admitted to the Nigerian College of Art, Science, and Technology at the same time in 1957. We were not only just colleagues in the classroom. We also shared the same room. Our first and second year, we were in the same room. So it was beyond just being classmates and listening to lecturers and so on. We had time to talk and to gist and to. We didn't have any quarrel. We enjoyed ourselves together. So it's always a pleasure, therefore, to talk about Uchi Okeke. I regard Uche as a brother, a friend, and a classmate. And then at a point, because of his experience in the arts, he already had some form of experience because he had lived in before he came to Zaria, he was in Kafanchan. And Kafanchan was quite close to Jos. And he met already before he came to Zaria, he met people in the arts, both white and black, and was able to interact. So while we were together, it was an opportunity to share a lot of the expertise that he had already collected before we were admitted to Zaria. Let me leave it here, and further questions might be more about Uchi Okeke.
That's wonderful. I can imagine the two of you as students having lively and inspiring discussions and exchanges around not just art, but everything, life, politics. Salma, as the as his daughter, as Ucho Keke's daughter, and also someone who deeply understands his legacy, can you shed some light for us on his interactions with fellow artists like Bruce, and how those interactions perhaps contributed to your father's broader artistic vision?
I never really, I did not see Ucho get annoyed. Very cheerful and very wise. He was a leader in many ways. He has wisdom, he has philosophy, and his opinion about the art was something that we held and used beautifully. He was not excitable. I mean, he took his time. While some idea would come and we're very, very excited and perhaps go ahead to work on it and maybe end up doing the wrong thing, Uche was really quite collected and his decisions came out right, always in the end. So that is that's Uche. Before we met, as I said, he was already actually a master. He didn't go in as a novice. He could draw very well. He could discuss Nigerian art. And he, at that time, he already even had a museum in Kafanchen. And so we were classmates, but he had developed to such a point that I usually seek his opinion in anything that that in any question that had to be asked or answered outside the classroom or the studios. That was Uche, and well, I saw in your list other questions. I will stop here and let you lead me on point by point. Thank you.
Selma, I'd love to bring you in at this point and to comment on your perspective as his daughter in terms of your father's interactions with artists like Bruce and others, and those he developed, and perhaps he always had it, that a very collaborative approach. And it seems like something he loved to do. Do you have some insight for us on that?
Yes, thank you, Tamsin. It's a rare pleasure to have Uncle Bruce right here, because these are people that were there before I was born. And I was born right into the community at once. I didn't know my father without his friends and colleagues. They were always a constant. Even when we hadn't met physically, but we were very much, you know, connected because of their relationship. It's hard to imagine Ucho Keke without, you know, that community, because it's as if the community was an integral part of his practice. You know, always needing to rub minds, you know, forge ahead together, even though they are going in different directions altogether, you know, also have a kind of, from my understanding, a kind of centrality to it, you know, a kind of design to it. Like you have all these people, but they are like branching out here, branching out there, you know, to emphasize on the diversity of Nigerian and African art, you know, to also work together to facilitate
these conversations and this kind of collaboration. It strikes me that these are a great way for artists to develop in general. But it does take a certain amount of bravery. And Professor Bruce, as you were describing, you had the courage to reach out to a colleague and a friend and ask questions. That opens you up to potential debate, somebody disagreeing with you, perhaps having a different perspective from you. It requires quite an open mind to seek out that kind of interaction where you might be challenged.
Sure, sure. That's correct.
Perhaps that openness to being challenged and that openness to having debates with other people, opening their minds perhaps to your point of view, which might differ from them, it's a kind of becomes part of your creative process in a way. And yet somehow, when you were collaborating together, I get the sense that your individual artistic voices merged quite harmoniously, yourself and Ucho Kekes, during your collaborative endeavors. How did that process feel to you?
It was very interesting. I mean, in the beginning, it was not a question of asking questions and opinion. He brings out an opinion and we are debating it. He was many miles ahead. And when we, in our enthusiasm, make statement and say things, he would just correct us. I said, no, look, this cannot be like that because of this, because of that. So I personally took him as a very knowledgeable person in the arts. Not only just knowledgeable, but quite a wise person who never faltered in his beliefs and the directions in which he was going and which he expected his fellow artist friends to go. So that was Uche. Many times I would say things and be very, very enthusiastic about it. But he would say, look at this. Look at it this way. Look at it this way. And so I will take the that kind of correction and then move ahead. But what was most important with the connection was that Nigeria, the ethnic groups have a lot of similarities, and getting close to him or be with him in the same class, in the same room, and all that made it possible now for me to draw from my own environment, which is of course not too far away from the, as an Urhobo man, not too far away from the Igbo environment, the cultural leanings, the traditions. We have similarities, and being with him, discussing with him, brings me back to look at my own environment and then bring out some of those salient things which later I put together to help me develop the kind of ideas or the kind of motif about my own surrounding and about other people's environment within the same large Nigerian society. So that was Uche Okeke. Not so much argument about this or that, but we enjoyed jokes which young men do enjoy and so on. It could lead to a bit of argument and all that, but that is not what you want to hear in this interview. Thank you very much, and I'm listening and. Please ask more questions and I will talk. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question. You spoke about yourselves as a young man, and I could hear the laughter in your voice. It made me think perhaps you have a memory in your mind. Would you share with us one of those funny times, or it doesn't have to relate to art, a funny story of the two of you as young men?
I will reserve that to the future, but not just now. Let's look at this salient points about art and life and barrier and the subsequent build up. I mean, what constituted what our contributions are to the growing Nigerian art of that time. We regarded ourselves as the product of independence, not just the artists. There are other people in the literature and in the government and so on. And if we can focus on those ones now, I will be more open to talk than to go into
some of this
talk.
Let's talk about the Zaria Art Society, because you were reflecting now on, in a way, this group of artists and intellectuals that were researching, that were kind of looking back on your own traditions, having discussions, debating ideas, looking at your place in this new changing world from a kind of as innovators. And you formed the society, the Zaria Art Society, together and forged a movement, this natural synthesis movement, that really addressed your way of being in this new space without rejecting your past or your traditions or your history. Can you tell us about those early days in the Zaria Art Society and how you were thinking about the world and your place in it as artists?
I first of all want to say that by 1957, when we admitted to Zaria, Nigeria was about 3 years of independence, and the atmosphere was charged with political development, and at that time we had opportunities to listen to the voices of people like Lamke Zikwe, Ewolowo, Sadana, Jomo Kenyatta, Nkrumah, also Leopold Senghor of Senegal, and read about Dennis Brutus and some other colleagues and so on. So really we were quite moved at that time. We were quite moved with the wisdom of these political fathers. And when we formed the Zaria Society, we found a way. We were not just moved with what was going on, but we realized that that Nigeria, the people in Nigeria had been so used to the point whereby nothing around them was important anymore. I mean, we're all referring at that time. Everybody was referring to London, New York, Munich, and so on. So on. But then we thought about what we could do to reverse that trend, to reverse that trend. And that was where the theory of the national assistances came in. With the wisdom of Uche Okeke, we had to bring out the fact that there are very many good things in our society there, buried. And we had to go back to them, bring them out, dust them, and use them. And in that way, we can grow and gain confidence and bring out things that can be big enough to be compared with the best things that are going on elsewhere. Uche named this the natural synthesis, which actually meant going back to the roots, going back to the roots, taking what is good, adapting it, and then moving outside ourselves, looking abroad, looking outside, find what is good also there. Combine what is good outside with what we find very good at home and forge a life for the present and for the future. That became something that not only Nigeria, but Africa at large picked it up as something that was that was very good. The kind of philosophy was very good. So it was adopted, and a lot of people started to look into themselves, look beyond, take what is good from the past, the present, and begin to live a life that had meaning, a life that was devoid of copying ideas from outside, which were even worse than what we have here. So that was the natural synthesis, the younger people, even the older ones, found that philosophy of looking back and taking what was good, and forging ahead with it, but also not neglecting what is outside that is good, putting them together, having a kind of fertilization and so on. All that idea became something that made the Zaria Art Society quite a landmark society at the time of the early independence. I want to say that the artists were not alone. There were other people in other areas. I want to say that some of us, who were the children of the independent, want to mention their names: Echepe, Soyinka, J.P. Clark, and all, mention them. And they all now wanted to go back to the roots, bring out things that that were very good, bring out the things that we treasure, the things we enjoy, and all that led to the great literature of the time, and produced men who really later became people who were able to carry the philosophy of the new independent countries forward to the present time that we have now. Let me stop there, and then if you have any other questions around what I have said down, we'll discuss it. Thank you.
This concept of natural synthesis that you spoke about, it was a philosophy, and it also was a concept that challenged conventional artistic boundaries, if you like, and it encouraged innovative expressions, and yet it brought people together at the same time. Salma, from your perspective, your father worked with this philosophy. It influenced his work for very many years and a long time, and also the collaborations that he did. Could you describe how that philosophy manifested?
The philosophy, as far as I can remember, was basically the foundation of the work done, not just by Uche Okeke, but by his colleagues. And that has been the central point of all the work that they have done and continue to do. It became a basis, like he said. This came up at the brink of independence and at the brink of, you know, not only for Nigeria, but for some other African countries. And, you know, that spirit of, you know, finding yourself was very much there. And they were there at those times. And that was what influenced everything they did afterwards. Now, having put that as a specific philosophy, they all walked around that philosophy in their own independent ways. And basically, that is the story of their accomplishments in their field of endeavor or during that period. And like he said, it wasn't just the artists. It was also, it was a whole circle of creative people, the poets, the writers, the musicians, the, you know, everybody got involved because everybody was moved by the spirit of those times and moved by the need for authentication and identity, and moved at that time by building a future. And of course, you have to take cognizance of the past to be able to do that. I don't know if that answers your question, Tamsin.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. It gives that much more insight to it. It's such a fascinating event, if you like, that happened, but that continued to happen. It sort of rolled out and became a movement that gained such significance, because I think it brought structure and created something new, something really brand new, and a lot of people wanted to be part of that new voice or that sort of new principles that were being created and wanted to be part of those creators. Bruce, in terms of, you have a foundation, you're a great and revered artist, a professor, you are dedicated to education and to promoting art and culture. How do you think, or do you think, that this natural synthesis will have a continued impact in today's landscape, and can it still inspire future generations?
Yes, very much so. I went to informal education after my retirement from teaching in the secondary school for about 23 years. And apart from taking to the informal, yes, apart from taking people from the the formal education setup to the informal education setup, I was able to interact very much with the people in the rural areas, most of whom had no opportunity at all to attend secondary school or do anything about art. The workshop I started, which of course was inspired by the work of Uli Bayer at during the Oshogbo artist, that workshop at Agbaruto has now touched not only people in universities, colleges of technology, professionals, it went to the grassroots now to touch the people who never would have had the opportunity to study art at all or to create anything at all that is called art that will bring out their name or put food on their table. So that is the development of the this philosophy. We've taken it from the schools, the former schools, and brought it back to the grassroots and the villages, and then use it now to develop the personalities of people who are in those areas who would never have benefited at all from anything near art education. That philosophy of going back to our past and digging out from the classroom and digging out from the grassroots and bringing those people together has come to pass. And I consider that to be really great, my great contribution to the synthesis philosophy. Go back, bring out the best, develop it, and let the environment and the people grow with it.
I love it so much because it's a level playing field. It takes everybody's experience, whether it's formal, whether it's informal, whether it's rural or urban, whether it's Western or African or whatever the experience is, their traditions, the different life experiences, it puts them all on a level playing field and acknowledges and gives a sort of a voice, a place to all of it and says, take in on all across all of it, take the best and make something new out of both of it. So I love the level playing field effect that it has. And I think that's a really, I think that's such a lovely thing for, especially as you said, going to grassroots education, people who wouldn't have had exposure to formal art education and bringing them in, but bringing them in on that level playing field and acknowledging them and their contribution as being equally important. I think that's a really great thing to do.
Thank you. Thank you.
So in terms of...
Exactly, Tamsin. I mean, that is the beauty of that simple philosophy and the movement that it has achieved. And that is why it remains relevant up till today. Because it has continually made people look inwards. It has continually made people research what is around them first. And then it hasn't stopped them from moving with technology, for instance, moving with advancement in other parts of the world, you know, but picking those aspects that can be utilized with the good aspects that we have around us. So you haven't discarded what you have completely and embraced something altogether new. You have tried to develop what you have, you know, and make it better, you know, grow it more, evolve it. And I think there is the simplicity of that philosophy and why it has survived the test of time.
I think you're right. I think it endures because it's actually very inspiring. And it's connecting. It connects artists across generations and it connects artists across geographic barriers or boundaries. And do you think, Salma, that these collaborative kind of experiences that come out of a philosophy like that can be a model for cultural preservation? It's one of the aspects within Asele Institute and within the Uchokeke legacy that is part of your mission to nurture creativity and artistic innovation in contemporary times and to play a part in cultural preservation. But that community aspect, I would imagine, is a very important part of that for you.
Yes, the movement was also centered. I mean, one of the offshoots of the movement would be cultural preservation. And for all the members of that movement, the Zarias Society, every single one of them continued, you know, with that, moving in that direction of, you know, doing the research to find out what is there. And by doing that research, you're already documenting what is there. And that means that you're preserving the culture in the first instance, you know, because what we would have had before would have been pure oral tradition. But now with the effort to properly document what is there, the good parts of it, you know, or even sometimes document practically everything just to have a proper idea of the available resources, the available practice, the culture. So it definitely has helped to preserve culture. And I think that is one of the important points of the movement. But, you know, but not preserving culture as is, but also recognizing that culture is in itself is subject to change. It evolves. You know, yes. And so you're not like at a standstill point with culture either, because culture keeps changing, it changes with times, changes with, you know, the society's, what is important to society at those times. But then again, it remains the same, basically, you know, because the past is never completely eroded, even as you keep developing it. So, yeah. That has been a very important part of the movement. And like Uncle Bruce has said, you can see what he has done on his own part also to continue with the movement. And that is exactly what he's doing. Every single member of that society has done exactly the same thing in their own different ways.
Yes, I'd love to ask Professor Bruce to unpack that a little bit more for us in terms of how these influences shaped your own artistic evolution?
First, before I answer that question or make my commentary, I want to comment Salma. He's now becoming as wise as his father. He's almost becoming a philosopher herself. Well, the way she has put this in now makes me feel quite proud and happy that she's able to tell our own story in a better way than I, for instance, would tell it. You know? Yeah, so what was your question? What's your question?
Thank you, Uncle Bruce.
The question was about these influences that we've been speaking about that came from natural synthesis movement, this approach you described so beautifully earlier about going back, taking the best from tradition and the past and looking forward, being innovative, looking abroad perhaps or outside and finding the good there and merging them all together. These are influences that were around you as part of that society, as part of Uchiyo Keke's circle, but you were also contributing to these influences. And the question is how they shaped your own artistic evolution.
It has that philosophy has helped me greatly to look at my own background, look at the culture around me, and then it has helped me to pick the salient things that are really very important, and join them up with what is going on at present, and I have been able to create things, artworks that are not only Yoruba but Nigerian, and which can actually be classified as African. It has helped me to look at things from the Nigerian angle, from the African angle. I want to mention here that recently a show of my artworks was put up in the High Museum in Atlanta, in USA. What interested the curator was how I was able to relate the Christian story to the Nigerian way of life. It is that synthesis theory, the synthesis philosophy, that has helped me to take what is to help me to interpret the Christian story, interpret it and present it as Africans, as Nigerian, rather than present it as a Caucasian or as a white fellow. It has helped me to bring in the principle of Christianity, bring the principle in, interpret the principle, rather than just take it from the global outlook. Just go to the principle and place this within the Nigerian context. And that was what interested the curator, and I'm quite proud to say that the reception of that show, the show had been received very, very well. And so there are many other things. The story of ourselves that we have to tell, again, is looked upon in that way. When other people, foreigners or other people, tell your own story, it's quite different. But when you put in mind the synthesis philosophy and you look at yourself and present the story in your own way, in the way that your people will understand it, then the story comes out clearer. And that is what I have been doing in the interpretation, in my creative work. And then it also helps me to look at ideas that that people don't even think are artistic. I go into the craft and then expose them, look at them, and find out that what the people had done in the past is actually the same thing as they are trying to do now. But people would think that what they're doing now is very, very different and very, very different from what they had done in the past, though. That's the Desi's philosophy now. Makes it possible for me to pick and choose, analyze, and upgrade, and help me to tell the Urhobo story, the Nigerian story, and the African story in such a way that we are happy and other people understand us and are respectful. Through that, they are able to respect us and praise our culture and want to learn more about us and then continue to work with us. I don't know if that
It's wonderful. The power of that is your ability to cast a net quite wide, even cross-disciplinary and cross-cultural, etc., and interpret and then present something your own way. And also, you speaking about telling stories. Of course, art always tells stories somehow or other, but really powerful art, it gives you as a viewer the sense that you're not just visually reading a story. It takes you to a layer below the story, to a kind of essence that isn't told but is felt. And I think you've done that through your work. And I think that's what the curator in Atlanta was picking up on as well. Of course, this is also something that Uchio Keke managed to do, and I imagine both of you being contributors and collaborators in this synthesis movement, you gained that amazing power. It's a rare and lovely thing. If we could end off perhaps thinking about that idea of the essence, and if each of you could share a message that captures the essence of Uchio Keke's legacy and the enduring impact of your collaborations or interactions with him, that would be a lovely way to end off.
Well, Uche started the Asele. Dimas then followed with the new culture. Then I came up with the Hamilton workshop. My gratitude here is first to Uche, who, as a leader, has been inspired us. My message to my colleagues or members of the younger generation is first the art they produced must have meaning to them. They must use it. They must use the art. It's not just something that is just touristy for foreigners and so on and so on. they are the producer, but be something that they also partake of. And then that the art itself should help to develop ideas and help to develop environments. I am very proud of what the art has done to Oshogbo, I am looking forward to see what the Hamata workshop and my effort will do to developing Agbaroto, the Central Robo District. And I'm appealing to every artist, wherever they may be, in the village, in the township, elsewhere, to develop the art in such a way that it upgrades life, take art to a higher level. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is a great opportunity for me to express my pride in these men that have been so visionary. There was a woman also involved. I think Afi Ekong. Am I right, Uncle Bruce?
Yes, you are right. Ekong.
Uh-huh. So these people that had such a great vision of placing us in a position of pride, of evolving us and developing us, and they continue to do that till their last breath. They are great examples of what we need to be, you know, for both the generations that are unborn, because it's still basically that same thing of, you know, finding your place of pride, being an ambassador of yourself and your community, you know, and your nation and your continent, and helping to, you know, put yourself out there for people to know you better, you know. And in that process, Uncle Bruce will tell you, it has been a journey of self-discovery for them. And even for those of us that were watching by the sideline, it has been a great journey. And that is the pride, you know, myself and Ijoma took in continuing our father's legacy. And I'm very sure that Mudiari and Co for Onobarbeya legacy and the Wokos for the Dimas Wokos legacy, there's so much pride involved in it, because the vision is real, and the vision is something that can, I don't see it going away anytime soon. It puts you in a place of pride and dignity, and you're continuously, you know, researching, continuously refining, continuously looking for better ways to do things that you have done, not ordinary things that you have been doing. And it's such a wonderful thing to see how it has developed a life of its own just by a handful of people coming together and saying, let's do this. Thank you so much, Uncle Bruce. It's a real honor to have you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you both so much for joining us, and thank you for the members in our audience and the listeners that will be tuning into this episode later on. Thank you, Professor Bruce Onabrakpeya, for your esteemed presence with us today. Thank you, Selma Uchokeke, for sharing your memories and your stories to contribute to a more holistic understanding for us of Uchokeke's contributions as an artist, as a thinker, as an educator, and as a friend and father.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That's a wrap. So we can remain in here and just have a casual conversation, but that's where we will have stopped the recording. But You're more than welcome to continue to converse. I want to thank Rudy Ari as well in the background.
Yes, I just want to take the opportunity to tell Uncle Bruce that I'm working seriously towards coming for the next edition of the Kahamatan workshop. It has taken a lot of years, but it hasn't been because I didn't want to come. It's just, you know, all the things that needed to be done. But it has to be, it's a priority for me now. Uncle Bruce, are you there? Oh, maybe he's dropped off.
Yes. Sorry, John. I have a question.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I was saying I wanted to take the opportunity to tell Uncle Bruce that coming for the Hammertown workshop is a priority for me now, and I am really working towards making the next edition.
Please come. You know that.
That will be in. Is it in? When is
so
it?
Very articulate, and really want to hear from today's voice of natural synthesis. Job well done, dear sister.
Thank you. We should be saying thank you to the Atfundi team who are putting this together. You know, and that's a way of by way of introducing you to Tamsin and her team. You know, Ijoma met them at the Cape Town Art Fair, and it has been a real romance between us. They get the vision very well.
Thank you, Salma.
Thank you, Tamsin, and we do look forward to a new consciousness across the continent.
Mudiare, we'd love to continue a collaboration with you and your community, and as we build our community, you're both working towards building a legacy for the younger generation, and I think there's a lot of overlap and a lot of opportunities to support each other, and we really look forward to that. Thank you for sharing with us today.
We're definitely in that unique position. The Onobareas, the Mokos, and the Ucho Kekes, we can't do without each other, really.
Absolutely.
So we're
one circle of winners, if I may say so.
It's a given. It's a given, yeah. Because our fathers work together. They continue. Right. Even now, Uncle Bruce is working together with Uncle Dimas Moko. You know, that initial collaboration was never broken. So it's a beautiful story of friendship, an enduring friendship. And like Uncle Bruce said it, you know, everybody had their own unique contribution to it, you know, but once they had agreed that they wanted to work together to do this. And they went off in different directions altogether, but it was still for that purpose of the natural synthesis. And it's a continuous thing. I look at Uncle Bruce at 90 and look at what he's done, you know? I mean, as he's rapping, you know, Uncle Dimas is busy writing, you know, a lot of things he hadn't documented, he's busy doing it now. And, you know, some people did earlier, some people start later, you know, but all working together, and that is the thing. All my life, I never even looked at just my dad. There was always this group of people.
Yeah, and perhaps this should be off the record. I just want to say that I feel such tremendous pride in thinking that Uncle Dimas gave us a formula to remain who we were, but unleashed us all to the farthest extent that we could be. And in so doing, we always told our human story. And, it's so important that I personally still feel very global, but also anchored to the fact that African and Nigerian without any conflicts. And that was actually the power of the natural synthesis. I am very much American. I'm also very much African, and I'm also very much from the Western, the Niger Delta of Nigeria. And for me, there are no conflicts. If anything, they all coexist because of the tremendous power and strength which these early thinkers had pointed us in that direction. And in so doing, we stand as giants on the shoulders of giants, truly global people, ready to, world class and ready to compete in the grassroots. End of sermon, off the record.
Yeah, off the record. I think you meant to say Uncle Uche, but you said Uncle Dimas. But
okay, I apologize. That should read as Uncle Uche Christopher Okeke.
I'm glad Mudiari mentioned this because, you know, Tamsin, just looking at it, look at Mudiari, look at me. Can you see any difference? It's just by us having been brought up by these men. And, you know,
I was looking into my eyes. I said, giving my father a high five.
We couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, we were standers by why things happened, you know? I mean, all this evolved in front of us as we were growing. It's not like anybody called us to drill us or train us particularly, but you see how it has influenced our lives. And I see it happening with the Dimas Moko tribe also. It's just, I think that that was what they also planned to do systematically. But, you know, they did it in a way that was like not direct. Because I know that we would have probably fought against if we felt anybody was trying to push us in a certain direction. Isn't that so, Mudiari? But see how it seeped in. And today, every single member of that generation from these people are equally exposed enough to carry on with the legacy. It's amazing.
And inspired. And you have the same values. You have the same openness, the same sense of innovation and globalness.
Mm. So
that was obviously imbibed by the environment that you grew up in.
Philosophy was far-reaching. Is far-reaching. That is just the truth of it. You know, such a simple philosophy, but look how far. You know, it just goes to tell you that it's the simplest things that are most effective. You know, because
very well said, dear sister.
Yeah, you easily like can jump on it without even really knowing. You know, but I love the way Mudiari has put it. The globalness is amazing. We can fit into anywhere. And that was it. And that was, you know, why I remember when we went to, when my dad went for sabbatical in the US, and I had to go to one high school in Minnesota, Marshall University High School, you know, and he came to, I think when they were trying to enroll me with the principal, and I was a bit quiet. He was like, why? Why don't you have confidence? And I said, no, it has nothing to do with confidence. You know, I just don't feel like talking. You know, but that globalness, they wanted us to be able to stand our own wherever without saying it in so many words. And that is what they have achieved. So, you know, when we're telling the stories, we don't even remember the stories of the families that are to continue the legacy. You know, we talk about the followership and all that, the artistic practice. But, you know, but who will continue this legacy? Yes, it is true that the legacy can also be continued by complete strangers, because there are a lot of people that have bought into it quite all right. But the unique position of these families cannot be, underestimated.
Yeah. I'm thinking about this younger generation of artists who are facing as much change and turmoil in their environment as your fathers were back when they were facing such big changes, political changes. But today it's a lot, there are a lot of political turmoils too, but there's also this massive impact of the rapid change of technology and AI coming into play. And it's one of the things I think you, Salma, being as brave as you are to, we've lost Rudiara, to be embracing that and to continue the philosophy of the legacy of natural synthesis, but take it into the current circumstance of today and look at what the younger generation of today is facing, what their big change around them is, and saying let's embrace that and let's play a role in continuing this creative nurturing, but in this new space. And that's what we're doing with the generative AI collaboration project, which I think is so exciting. Yeah.
That has been the nature of the synthesis movement. You know, it will keep changing its face depending on you know, what strides mankind takes, and you know, the global environment. You know, so it's not static. It's a living legacy, and this is exactly how it was envisaged right from the beginning. So it will never be static, and that's the beauty of the philosophy. You know, it will keep evolving as we evolve, and so it is only right that, you know, we move it. But then that is where I think the place of the family is sort of in this movement, you know, would probably be to continue to anchor the way these first visionaries had done. I don't know if it will be exactly the same without the family, because what I'm finding out, which I hadn't thought of consciously, is that there's so much that has been embedded, you know, in the family over the years. Nobody has had as much close-up, as much close-up attention to the evolution, even without having planned it or having made a conscious effort to be involved, because you're right in the middle of it somehow. So there's so much that goes into your subconsciousness that you're not even aware of. And so that puts these families in a unique position to help to ensure that the legacy is kept as it had been planned from the beginning. It's only as we speak that I begin to realize those things. Even myself and Ijoma, we never talked about it in that way, but I know that we on our own side, from the Uchokeke side, we're thinking of what's going to happen the next generation, you know. And now looking at it in a broader picture, I see that, like Dimas Nwoko already, his second generation is already involved. You know, the New Culture Studio is being run by his grandson, you know, and some of his grandchildren. He now has some great grandchildren, but they are really small, that kind of thing. And now, you know, talking with Mudiari, we see his son is, you know, that's the next generation after his, is going into tech. And, you know, whatever they do, because that's the broadness of this platform, whatever they do, they can still use it in the movement. They can use it to reinforce the movement. They can use it to facilitate, research. You know, they can use it to collaboration. So, you know, it's pretty broad. You mustn't be an artist.
Yes,
in this, you're right. In this movement. Yeah. So it remains very relevant. And it really is a legacy that I'm proud to be associated with, because I don't even feel like I need to copy anybody. I don't feel like, even copying the originators of the philosophy, not in that sense. It's a personal journey for everybody involved. And I think that's the beauty.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Selma. And thank you, team. Uh-huh. And
thank you so much, everyone.
It was lovely.